And on today's Windy City Careercast, I'm sleepy. That's right, it's early in the morning, this one, and I'm hanging out and chatting with Deb Pierce from Toronto. How fun is that? We're talking about her obsession with my project that's adding to the fact that I'm so fatigued. We also talk about cottaging. It's become a verb now, cottaging. And who's your Dara? Deb doesn't know. Deb knows nothing about Dara Torres. She's going to get really excited in this show, and it's going to wake me up. I think Deb's my new spiritual guru. That and Richard Knight Jr. with the hot new Penelope Cruz film, the other one, because there's more than one right now, and much, much more. News and entertainment all coming to ya.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 238. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce.
Yes, you are.
Amy.
Yes.
What's your voice? Yes. Or shall I call you Andrew? Why is your voice so low? What's going on over there?
We're recording in the morning.
You sound like a man. Oh, is that what your voice is? This your morning voice?
I am not a morning person, Deb
Pierce.
Oh,
what do we need to do for you?
I don't know. You're going to ease me into it. You're going to ease me into it.
Can I tell you, I've been up for 6 hours.
You've been up 6 hours and you've been talking for five of them.
That's correct.
I've been up for 6 minutes and I've been talking for 5 seconds.
I'll carry you until you wake up. But just let me know if we need to, like, you know, do the caliper things and then clear. Boom, boom.
Yep.
See if you need a little... You do. You sound manly. It's manly, but I like it, too. It's nice.
Yeah.
It is nice. What is it like there?
You like the tranny boys, so you'll be good with me.
I don't hate it. Your voice is sexy on a good day, but there's a sexier aspect.
To the low voice?
Yeah.
I am
the people that wake up beside you have that special morning voice thing going on.
The people. It's like I'm in an episode of Swingers. The people.
Well, I'm just saying. Oh, my God.
The masses,
I love
of people that wake up beside me.
Well, the revolving door, if you will.
Yeah.
I kid. Yeah. I do love Swingers, though.
Yeah?
Swingers is good for the sex life. Can I just tell you?
The television show Swingers?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is the brunette. Yeah. It's the brunette, right? It's the brunette factor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got something going. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
I am.
I'm a little behind in my Swingers. So are you a morning person?
Yes.
Yes.
And an afternoon. And arguably middle of the evening, and then late into the evening, and again into the early morning.
Wow.
I don't have an off switch.
You're an all-around kind of gal.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. How annoying for those of for those listeners that aren't. But I have no problem with time. I've been doing the morning show here on Proud FM this week, so that means that I've been getting up at 4:30. And then I don't like to go to bed before 10 or 11 because that just feels weird, and then I'm all like...
Don't you feel sick? I feel like there's something sick if I go to bed before 11. That's me.
Yeah. Oh, too many good things happen before 11. You can't go to sleep before 11 because you're not 12. It's like going to sleep when the sun's out.
Yeah.
My partner can go to bed at 8 o'clock and watch TV for a couple of hours, and I'm like, in bed is in bed. I don't want to be in bed. I'm on the couch. I'm doing things. I'm cleaning. I can't stop.
I don't subscribe to TVs in bedrooms. Do you?
Do you have a TV? I would rather there wasn't.
Yeah.
But I don't wear the pants. So that being said, there's a... Yeah.
That's why your voice is higher today.
Sadly, I got a really good sleep last night. And the night before. Anyway. Yeah, it's the distraction of the television. You're right. I'm going to... You know what?
Yeah.
I think there might be a television malfunction. I think we might just have to short that TV out.
You know, our fellow co-host, Alexandra Billings, she can't sleep without one.
So my mom falls asleep to it, too.
Yeah, whenever she stays at my house, she has to have it on. And one time we were singing a concert for World AIDS Day down in Memphis, and we were staying at friends of mine's house, and we were sharing a bed. We were sharing their master bedroom, and we were lying in bed, and we were so fucking exhausted, kind of like what I am right now. And we were so tired, and we're lying in bed, and I said, and Alex had it on, and I said, Alex, really, seriously, you're going to fall asleep in a second, and this is going to keep me awake. And she was like, no, no, no. She was, look, I'll just turn it down. So she turns the volume all the way down, so we have kind of that poltergeist effect, you know?
Right, the things flashing before your eyes even when they're closed.
Yeah, the screens kind of, like the aliens are sending you signals. And I mean, I don't know, probably somebody's cooking an omelet. I don't know what they're doing, but it's in a very dark room and the television's on.
Yeah, it's weird. It's ominous. And when you see it from the doorway, it does look like it's very, you've coined it perfectly. You're totally right with the poltergeist effect, for sure.
Yeah, she and I looked at her and I was like, seriously? And she's like, this is what I need, Amy. And I was like, okay. So.
Did you get to sleep?
I did, because about 7 minutes later, I stood up and like pointed the remote control at the television and turned it off, and she was already asleep, so.
And scene.
Just wait for your moment, people. Wait for your moment in life.
Right.
It will come to you.
Which is the moral of that story, wait till they fall asleep.
Exactly.
So how's your week going? It's Friday.
Oh, is it?
It is. It is right now, yes.
Yeah, it's true.
You're tired.
I am tired. You know, I have been working this job, which I do, pay the bills. And I have been rehearsing a play.
How's that going?
It's going really, it's fantastic. But it is, as people know, if you listen to some of the past shows, where I think Mitchell and I talked about, you know, the material is all about Jonestown and the People's Temple, which... was the church led by Jim Jones, and everybody, they're reduced today to a cliche of don't drink the Kool-Aid, you know?
Yeah.
And, but these are real people, and it was 900 plus people who died, and it's telling their stories, their real stories. And, it's exhausting work. I don't have a ton to say in the show, but none of us really have much of a break.
Right.
It's 12 actors who are working the whole time, and we're having rehearsals at night, and I'm a night owl, but when you get done at 11 and then you're driving home and then you're trying to come down off this material.
Yeah. Going over lines and hearing the other voices. And
it's just intense. The first week I had nightmares, not nightmares per se. I didn't wake up in a cold sweat. I mean, the television and Alexandra Billings were more of a nightmare, but just a bit haunted. If you could be haunted by something that is not scary, just hovering,
I
know,
do think
like
it is
lingering.
You say a number account dead. I say that number is murdered, even though it was by their own hand.
Yep.
So the terrifying brainwashing that goes on with those kind of religions and Jim Jones and the People's Temple, that's terrifying, because that gets into the human condition, that gets into your brain and warps you so badly that if you're playing within that scene and that character work and that environment, of course you're going to feel that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm thinking less and less that we're evoking a ton of the feel of the brainwashing, but more that people just overlooked certain things.
Right.
And you know, you can do this in a relationship. You know, if anybody listening's ever been in a really bad or abusive relationship, you can overlook something and the signs are there from the beginning, but you kind of overlook or excuse or justify moments that at first might seem very small, but contrary to your gut or what you know to be right or true or correct. And then you just keep doing that. And until, you know, you're kind of just chipped away at and you forgot where you started.
Well, because, and kind of like those people that seek out, sorry to interrupt, the people that seek out those, the more meek people that are prone to that kind of influence, that's exactly the kind of person that Jim Jones is going to seek out because of his, you know, the powerful energy that he exuded. I mean, somebody that's having a weak link in their chain, he's going to go right for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely, everybody that was there had their own reason. Some of them just needed housing and food, you know, extremely poor African American. And he did provide that. He provided a lot of basic needs for a lot of people that made their lives much better than it was before they found the church. And then you had the people who, you know, this is post Watergate, post Nixon, post Vietnam, most of it, I mean, part of it was around through in and after Vietnam.
Right.
So people, you know, you have the socialist element, the people who thought the government and the United States didn't take care of their own and who wanted to feed and house people and wanted to create a utopian society where we were taken care of, where we had an integrated society. It was very much an integrated church.
Right.
With black and white working together and in worship together and in service to each other. So, I mean, there were many, many, many principles that's a little different than some of our other cults, you know, the people who were killing themselves so they went to the spaceship in the sky. I mean, I think these people knew they were dying. They were crossing over. Well, some of them did. And some of them went willingly, and some of them were surrounded by strong men with guns and a vat of cyanide and punch.
Right. There is that thing that's really carried on with the punch and the Kool-Aid and the cyanide. And what's the name of the play? And who is the character that you play? Do you play his partner, his wife?
No. Well, I guess I do in one moment. I'm just an image of her in the background.
Okay.
Marceline was his wife. But she doesn't speak in our play. The play is called The People's Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Which was actually what the church was called in San Francisco and Ukiah in Northern California when they established. And I play a number of characters. I play a woman who survived. Her name is Laura Cole, and she was a greeter in San Francisco and is not a character who went to Guyana, who went to the jungle. But you know, was a believer who thought they were doing amazing work, is a kind, lovely woman who understood what they were doing in terms of, when I say she was a greeter, it meant that they kind of surveyed every visitor who came to the church and fed Jim Jones information. And obviously they thought they were doing some of those things to help make it easier for people to come in and believe and be a part of the good work they were doing. I mean, there's a bit of denial in all this, so let's, you know.
Well, it's interesting that. as I look up the information as we're talking about it, to be even more, even better versed in it, because I had an interesting obsession in my teens and early 20s about this whole concept of brainwashing.
You did.
I did. I really, really did. And when we've spoken about it before, I, you know, there's the images in the book that I have of everything happening and his creepy, creepy, weird, big glasses face.
Yeah.
And, of course, the final image, not only of the congressman next to the plane he was trying to escape out of, but just the people that are, you know, lying dead on the ground.
Well, and you
I
know that was staged, too. I mean, if
right,
you notice how they're all lying down, they're all lying face down. They don't look like they died in a way that was painful, but cyanide is a very painful way to die.
Right. And it was they were all laid out very systematically, and mm-hmm. and you couldn't see their faces. But it says it happened in November. Was it November 1978?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So this is the 30-year. I hate to use the word anniversary because that
it
sounds
is.
Celebratory, but 30 years since.
Yeah, it's been 30 years this November. So it's interesting. You know, I play another character. We play multiple characters, but I play a character who was very high up. In kind of the pecking order.
Okay.
And she went there. She was not a believer. She went there because her husband became Jim Jones' attorney, his lawyer.
Okay.
And she had a son. Pretty much it's common belief her son was Jim Jones' child.
Okay.
And she defected. She left.
With the child?
No, without the child.
Okay.
And her child, when she went back to San Francisco, and her child then went to Guyana, went to the jungle, she is the one, her name is Gray Stone, or Stoen, it looks like Stoen, S-T-O-E-N. Mm-hmm. She was the one who they kind of created the entire campaign to go and reach out. The families and loved ones of people who were over in Guyana, who didn't want them to be over in South America, got politicians involved in California. And Grace was one of the main ones because they used her son and getting back her son as kind of a main priority of why they would go over there. And so she is one of the reasons that the congressman went over there, which is what began the beginning of the end. I mean, he was there just a couple of days, and obviously the mass suicide or mass murder happened after it.
Right.
I mean, happened, you know, the congressman was shot, and the next morning is when that happened.
That's, the whole story is terrifying and fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's going to be opening for you very shortly.
Is
it a short run for you?
It's the month of September.
Okay.
It's the entire month of September. So at
so
the American
when's your
Theater
night?
Company. September 8th. It's a Monday
All
night.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So
on a Monday, that's interesting. That even makes it more dark, because isn't that traditionally a dark day in theater, Monday?
It is.
That's creepy and fantastic.
It's a very intimate theater. I feel like I've talked about it a lot on the show, but it's such an interesting story that I don't think many people know much about, you know? I mean, as Mitchell said, Mitchell was like, where's Guyana? I mean, people I don't even think know that much about the entire story.
Well, my question to you, and you may or may not know it right off the hop, but he was born in Indiana and then, of course, died there. But was it called Jonestown because he was there, or did he specifically go to Jonestown, Guyana, to...
Oh, no, they built it. It was in the middle of the jungle.
They literally called it Jonestown, and that name has stuck geographically?
Oh, I don't know that.
That's a good question, isn't it?
I don't know that. I mean, Georgetown was next to them, but they bought... you know, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres of jungle. And with their bare hands, they cleared jungle.
And
they built this village, fully self-serving village with a medical facility and dining facility and housing and individual houses for people. And it's pretty
That's
amazing.
Intense. It's intense for somebody to take that on as a play. That's great.
Well, it's the people who did the Laramie Project, some of the people who did the Laramie Project. But it's, you know, it's interesting as you think this could have worked for certain people, you know?
Right. Well, you think of Waco, Texas as well. I mean, there's so many examples of these. I remember when I was dating someone in L.A. and in Arizona and stuff like that, I was there at the time where that, I can't really speak to it too specifically, but he was doing some sort of same cultish-like home, And he convinced everyone to take poison to kill themselves. It's
Yeah, but the difference with his is that I don't think there was any political or socialist message with him. What was
right.
his name? I can't even remember.
I can't remember either. But this is also a time, right? This is the 70s, so there is a politicism around everything. So maybe that's probably why, too.
It's so political, and I think there's aspects of what he was saying that could have worked, because the difference is that what makes Jim Jones somebody everybody should look at is that he had great political power in the United States.
Right.
I mean, he helped get the mayor of San Francisco elected. He could get hundreds and hundreds of people on the streets within an hour to campaign for a Democratic candidate in San Francisco or LA. He was a very, very powerful figurehead. And
well, I'm seeing things like President Carter, Harvey Milk. I'm seeing the influence that he, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
So even though they kind of thought he was, I think people always thought he was a bit of a, you know,
Better.
Radical minister and a bit too radical to keep too close. Like, he was really upset that the mayor of San Francisco didn't give him a position on
right.
staff after helping him get elected. But they all knew they needed him. And they all knew when Walter Mondale, who was with, you know, Carter's VP,
yep.
when he came to San Francisco, he did not want George Moscone, who was the mayor of San Francisco, with him. He wanted Jim Jones. He knew what it said. He knew what it said about integration. He knew what it said to the black voters. He knew what it said to liberal California. So it's just amazing that he was seen as somebody that was a bit, that you should be a bit wary of to get really in bed with, so to speak.
Yep.
But was somebody you needed. And that's an interesting figure, you know, that we don't see replicated quite often. He wanted
Hitler.
To be a politician and humanitarian.
I think of Hitler. You know, I think about the people that sought advice from, you know, there's advisors around him, and then there's people that help him to raise into certain powers, and then there's people, like, it's just such a radical way of thinking that you can't help but hit on to some good ideas and some very sane ideas when you're that powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was closer. I'm in Toronto. I wish I was closer to Chicago to see this.
Well, people need to come.
Yep.
People need to come to the People's Temple. Hey, let's take a quick break. Let's tell you what's going on in the news and some more. And then Deb Pierce with me on the show. We're catching up and checking in with our lives and sharing it all with you.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Every year you make staggering advances in technology, like air, more air, slightly less air, and a separate air chamber for maximum air.
She's gonna blow!
Good ball handling skills, sound fundamentals, a killer outside shot. All completely useless unless we're wearing your sneakers.
I got a 2-inch vertical.
They're designed to last for a decade, which is just about the time we'll have them paid off.
I'm living in my van.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, old Sultan of the sneaker. We may never make a layup, but your shoes will always be a slam dunk.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Bud Light beer at Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
The confidential files and records of gay teen Larry King have been turned over to an attorney representing the 14-year-old boy accused of murdering him. A California judge is allowing King's medical, psychological, and school records to be passed over to Brandon McInerney's defense team so that they can prepare his legal defense. The teen is currently being tried as an adult and has been charged with first-degree murder and a hate crime. McInerney is accused of shooting and killing King in February after the openly gay teen asked him to be his Valentine. He has pleaded not guilty.
Brazilian lawmakers recently killed a gay adoption bill. Members of the lower house of Congress removed a provision within a new adoption bill that would have allowed gay and lesbian couples to adopt. Although Brazil does not legally recognize same-sex relationships, some states, such as Buenos Aires, do. Both Buenos Aires and Rio Grande do Sul have civil unions.
Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal recently dropped an executive anti-discrimination order. The order, put in place by a previous governor, prohibits employment discrimination against gay state workers. However, Jindal did not renew the order, so it expired August 22nd. Former Democratic Governor Kathleen Blanco signed the order in 2004. Jindal, a Republican, was a vocal opponent of the order back then as well.
U.S. Representative Stephanie Tubbs Jones, Democrat from Ohio, recently passed away. She suffered from an aneurysm while driving her car on Tuesday, August 19th. Tubbs Jones was the first African-American woman to represent Ohio. She was a co-sponsor of the fully inclusive ENDA and supported repealing the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. PFLAG Executive Director Jody Huckabee called her an ardent advocate for the dignity of every American and one of the biggest hearts of the heartland.
People magazine was at the wedding of lesbian daytime talk show host Ellen DeGeneres and actress Portia de Rossi to take pictures of the affair, so one can expect photos soon. The ceremony was very low-key and closely guarded, was held in their Los Angeles home. DeGeneres wore white slacks and a vest, while her partner wore a gown.
Liberal out lesbian Rachel Maddow will have her own show on MSNBC. Maddow is currently a political commentator on the Air American Radio, where she hosts a daily show. Her new MSNBC show, The Rachel Maddow Show, will launch on September 8th. Maddow will discuss the day's top news, politics, and more. Maddow will continue her Air America radio show as well. The Rachel Maddow Show will air on weeknights after Countdown. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Colton Ford, and you're being turned on by the Windy City Queercast.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Penelope Cruz doesn't enter until the midway point in Vicky Cristina Barcelona, but when she does, it's as if she'd changed the current from AC to DC. So electrifying is her entrance into what has up to that point been a delightful, though somewhat predictable, Woody Allen farce. The plot centers on the uptight brunette, Vicky, played by Rebecca Hall, and her luscious blonde best friend, Christina, played by Scarlett Johansson, who are vacationing in Barcelona. Both fall for the devilishly handsome artist Juan Antonio, played by Javier Bardem. Though it's Christina who ends up moving in with him. Juan, however, is still heavily influenced by his ex-wife, the fiery Maria Elena Cruz, who moves in with the couple after making a suicide attempt. You'll have to see it to believe it. After a brief period of fireworks, things heat up between the three and a happy menage a trois is set in motion. At one point, Cruz even reveals to Vicky that she and Maria Elena have made love. The two are shown kissing in Christina's dark room. It's kind of a chaste relationship for us. But contentment isn't the same as love, and there are several more couplings and uncouplings, as in most of Allen's pictures, before the fade-out. Woody doesn't appear in the movie, though his anxiety-prone stock character is recognizable in the characters played by Johansson, who is more at home in this role than in previous Allen outings and keeps her mouth closed for once, and especially Hall, who does most of the kvetching. Vicky Cristina Barcelona is a bittersweet little movie, enlivened by its beautiful locations and the performances of the fiery Cruz and Bardem, who brings heart to the stereotypical Latin lover character. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Jersey Boys, Chicago's smash hit, has put a whole new block of tickets on sale now and into the new year. So book your seats today, either for yourself or as a great holiday gift, because there's no better way to say 'tis the season than with the seasons.
Oh, what a night.
Jersey Boys, now on sale through January 11th. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
In your life.
Join the club.
For the week of August 25th, 2008, You are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss the world premiere of Love in the Middle Ages at the Village Players in Oak Park, a new musical comedy about baby boomers jumping back into the dating scene. Fun for couples or a big group, playing through September 21st. For tickets to Love in the Middle Ages, call 866-764-1010 or visit village-players.org for more.
An evening of classic Lily Tomlin, one night only, Saturday, November 1st at 8 p.m. at the Rosemont Theater. Get your tickets now. Visit Ticketmaster.com. Use the special code WCT to receive $10 off per ticket for any ticket level. Discount offer good now through August 31st only. This is Lily's only Chicagoland appearance. Don't miss it. For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. So, Deb, what has been going on in your world?
Well, I've been working really hard. I've been getting back to working out a little bit more as the heat becomes a little more bearable to run in.
Yeah.
I've just been spending a lot of time. I did some cottaging. I've been really enjoying my own home. And
cottaging, is that a verb? Cottaging.
Yeah, it is. To cottage, yes. Yeah, I've been going up to a cottage and spending a lot of time. Actually, I'm finding that I don't have to go away too far to cottage. I actually have a lot of beach around my home. So just yesterday, I took my partner's dog down to the beach. We spent 3 hours just walking around and talking, and I saw this huge yacht called Lady M. I thought it was Bette Midler. I was going to start a rumor. Or Madonna. I wasn't sure. But it was the size of a city block. And now I come to find that in the paper, it's $185,000 to rent a week.
Oh, my God.
A week.
Wow. Just buy the damn thing.
And there's nobody knows. Nobody will say. Nobody will say who's on it.
Do you think it's a front?
I don't know what it is. I'll tell you, it's a front, it's a back, it's a side, it's huge. It's ridiculous.
I think you should do like one of those. Do you have those people in Toronto like we have here in Chicago that do these like exposés on the news where
yes,
they uncover something?
I would love them to, but no one's talking. And are you kidding me? If you've got a good gig with something that you have to pay that much for as one of the 17 staff members, are you really going to give up the information? I don't think people get that rich by being by not doing something illegal, so I'm not going to ask the questions.
Yeah. Well, then that would make Oprah pretty suspect, wouldn't it?
That's a good point. Good point.
Could be illegal activity happening at Harbo Studios. Who knows?
Well, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Could you imagine if that actually came out? So I've been doing that. I've been really, really enjoying my summer and trying to be as healthy as I can. And, trying to get some good reading in. And I know that I have done all my to-do list things when I actually have time to do a good crossword, which I enjoy.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy crosswords.
This means you're going to have a really good mind for a really long time.
Let's
say crossword puzzles really help your memory and mind.
Well, that's the thing. I think since using computers a lot and not actually handwriting, and God knows the last time I actually wrote a letter, to actually sit and write things down and have to go through that mental process is it does keep things sharp. But I actually use it as a winding down thing because it's not as intense as some of the reading that I've done. I'm doing like New Earth and the Four Agreements and stuff like that. This is just kind of throwaway.
Yeah.
Or it seems like it is anyway. How's your summer?
I am overextended. I mean, I'm just overextended.
You need more hours.
I need more hours in the day. I need to do it differently, and I don't know how to do that. I need some
advice.
Because
you're an overachiever, Amy. Have you met you? You're an overachiever.
It's a problem.
You need to be, well, you need maybe, and I hate to use the A word, you may need somebody to assist. You may need an assistant or somebody to help to carry out some of the things that you do.
I need to become very well versed in the ability to use a very short word, which is no. And I can't do it.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's
that's
really hard.
A great
hard.
Skill to learn, because then there's the remorse, right? There's the, oh, I wish I hadn't said, or now I do have time for,
yeah.
Or what did I miss with that, or did I let somebody down, or should I have been involved with that? Is that going to advance this? It is a tough word to say.
Yeah. I mean, I that maybe writes it all off too easily, because you're right. Like, I'm an overworker, I'm an overachiever, whatever that is, but it's really just nutty perfectionism ego-driven schlock, you know? I don't know what it is. It's something.
Well, it keeps you out of trouble, though. Gets you off the streets and keeps you out of trouble.
Keeps me out of trouble and off the streets and off the dope. I don't know.
I have off the junk. I have learned to say no, because I'll tell you, with the amount of events that happen in this great city of ours here in Toronto, there are a lot of events that I can host on a nightly basis. And I do want to be there. I do want to be part of every single night, but I'm no good to them if I'm no good to me, and I really need that time to recharge my own battery. So the next time I get on the stage, or the next time I open my mic, or the next time I'm going out to a pride parade, that I can be sort of there, and it's not just like a politician shaking hands and holding. Like I really want to be there. So I don't pick and choose with popularity. I pick and choose with whether I can physically be there 100%. That's what I do. You know?
The problem is I think I'm there 100% and I'm absolutely empty everywhere else.
Right.
You know?
On the outside. So on the outside, you're always...
I'm just like so... I'm so depleted. It's really, really, really tough. I'm trying to find a few hours here and there, but I don't know. I don't know if you can... I mean, I guess you can relate. I wonder if other people listening can, because I just... I feel like I do well at... I have this amnesia. I was telling somebody the other day that I have this amnesia that, oh, I can do this. I can do a play, and I can also have my daytime job and probably pepper in there a few other things because I have a day off, so I should fill that. And that's where the nutty turn happens. The nutty,
right.
Nutty turn happens.
So I guess since our last conversation, not a lot of tennis.
No, I've played... Well, I think right after we talked, I played three times that week. But then my major tennis partner, Heather, left town, so I didn't play. And then we played once this week, and I never needed to hit a ball so badly in my life.
That's the thing about sport, is that it balances out that other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
The beating stuff, the beating things, beating balls with rackets.
I think you need to become like my spiritual guru, Deb Pierce.
Here I am for you.
No, I'm serious.
All right.
Like,
I'm here
tell
for
me,
you.
Like, stop.
I play hard and I work hard. And I think that that's a. I've achieved that fine balance because I've learned the two letter word that starts with N and ends with O. I've learned it.
Yeah.
I'll teach you that.
Yeah. There's a book called The Power of a Positive No. It's, of course, sitting on my bedside table. And I read about 10 pages of it and I was like, oh, this is good. And then I put it down and. I haven't looked at it again.
Well, it might not be time for you to do that because you might not have the time to do that. But you'll do it when you're supposed to.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though, because then you get there and then here you are. Like right now, I just have to do it differently the next time.
Yep.
But I have to just show up and be in all of this stuff now. Which, don't get me wrong, I'm having a great time. I just wish there was more of me. Like... physically, mentally, emotionally. But I'm about to have a couple of nights off. So that will be...
Have you been watching any of the Olympics?
Oh, you didn't listen to my last show.
I didn't.
That's okay. I am obsessed with the Olympics, too. And I can't believe that in this busy time period that the network television had to have this thing called the Olympics.
How dare they do that? Didn't they know 4 years ago? God.
Yeah. That I'm watching this damn thing all the time and really just drooling over Dara Torres like there's no tomorrow.
Who is that?
Deb!
I'm Googling!
Dara Torres?
I've been hearing all about all these Canadian swimmers and stuff.
Oh, right, because you're hearing it from the Canadian experience. How are you guys doing? I have no clue how y'all are doing in the Olympics.
Well, let's just say that your count right now, you're ranked 2 out of 205 countries with a total of 102. Medals. We have 3 gold, 8 silver, 6 bronze, a total of 17, and ironically 17th ranking out of 205. But, you know, we're Canadians. We're just happy to be there and part of the team. I mean, we are just so happy to be there.
What are your major summer sports? I mean, that you have...
Well, a lot of it's very similar, right? Because our weather's pretty similar to Chicago. But right now, we're really doing well in swimming. I have such a hard time watching it because of my issues with China and Beijing. I have so many issues on how China was so as far as the way it treats its people there. It's so far from being okay to host an international incredible event like this that I can't even watch them. I haven't watched them.
You haven't watched them at all?
Nope.
Okay, well then please Google Dara Torres because you're missing out.
Okay, and am I gonna need?
And God wants you to at least see Dara Torres if it's not on a television because I think she's done swimming at least on a computer screen.
Okay.
She's like Elle McPherson in a bathing suit. Who wins silver medals and happens to be 41, the oldest medal winner in Olympic history.
Oh, my God, I'm in love already. I can't find her, but I'm in love.
You can't find her? D-A-R-A.
Yep.
Torres. T-O-R-R-E-S.
Maybe it's my computer. Maybe too many people are Googling. Oh. Hello.
Yeah. It's a...
She's 41. April 15th, 1967.
And has a child who's 2 years old.
And her middle name's Grace.
And I don't see the husband ever. Just
marriage
saying.
Marriage of convenience.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
She's got really bad 80s hair in this picture.
Okay, well then look at a different picture.
Okay.
Do like the Google images.
Oh,
there's
no, she's got longer hair here with a baby in her arms. Oh, stop
you just
it.
Need to see her wet in water, Deb Pierce. Wet in water. That's how I like to envision her.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello.
How's that
who's
working
your Dara?
For you?
Who's your Dara?
Who's your Dara?
Nice. Oh, there's nothing better than a nice smile and a healthy body. Is there anything sexier? I ask you.
I don't know.
There isn't.
Big chunk of silver hanging around your neck.
Wow. Yeah.
She won a ton of medals. She's in her lifetime, she's won a ton, but yeah.
I'm sorry, I haven't been paying attention to the Americans, let alone.
I can't believe you haven't been watching them, but I
no,
understand.
No, and they're on. I've got satellite. I am shape-shifting. Yes, I'm a shape-shifter. I'm time-shifting all over the place. I could watch them 24 hours a day, and I'm not, which is weird because, I guess I'm not as busy as you, but I am really busy. And then my time at home is never going to be spent in the summer in front of the Olympics. I'd rather be out doing something and underachieving instead of these people being perfectly
overachievers.
Physically fit. Yeah. But it is great. I mean, to get back to the China thing, and I'm not going to.
No, tell me about it because I'm curious if you announced that you were boycotting it on Proud FM.
I have not.
No.
I have not. We've been talking about it. Of course, it's in the news, especially when we get closer and closer to getting more and more medals. And we are one medal away from tying what we had in Barcelona. But because I heard that on the radio today. But if we could just epitomize how China treats their own Chinese people with the example of the girl that sang the anthem for the Olympics. The Chinese girl that sang wasn't pretty enough, and her teeth weren't straight enough. So they got a, quote-unquote, a perfect child to go there and lip-sync to another girl's voice.
Yeah.
What is that about? And I'm not even getting into the fact that females are literally disposable in China.
They're disposable, or they're put on a gymnastic team. You know, now there's this controversy that one of the gymnasts that won gold is only 14.
Yeah.
So the medal is in contention now.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, do you not think, I'm not a cynic by nature whatsoever, so it's weird to talk like this, but do you not think that if the Chinese government is looking after the Chinese Olympians and they can't jimmy the paperwork for an allegedly 14-year-old gymnast, you don't think that there's potentially some, you know, some documentation changes going on there?
Oh, I'm sure there are. I mean, I have to tell you, the opening ceremony, if you're ever able to watch it online,
I did watch that because I thought, wow, I wish you guys had been putting more money into your... But anyway, yes.
But it's extraordinary because it's just... there was quite a lot of celebration, and at the same time, I went, wow, what these people are doing is so regimented. It's so militaristic. It's so...
Like the timing of everything with that many people was...
Good Lord.
Was flawless.
The control over people, I guess, in that moment that was executed in a way that was fantastic art was crazy. It was such a mind fuck to me.
I find that terrifying to watch. And it kind of, I just think about the mental discipline that it takes to get to that place, or the somebody being terrified to not get it right. And I'm not, I like the Olympics. I like the idea of it. I love the international flair to it. I love every country coming together and representing itself in the idea of sport. I love that idea. But, you know, and I'm glad Toronto didn't get it. I wouldn't have wanted to live here when all those changes were going down. I wouldn't have. And we've got them. 2010, we've got the Winter Olympics in Vancouver.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got them in KNADA.
How far is Vancouver from you?
It's like New York to L.A.
It's far.
Yeah, it's the complete opposite end of the country. Well, we still have the Maritimes to the east of us in Quebec, but it's totally the West Coast.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. Chicago is up for the bid for the Summer Olympics.
See, that's the thing. It's a blessing and a curse, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want them, but it's kind of like you don't want them to say, well, why don't you want us?
You know,
that kind of thing.
Right.
But I've been saying all along, you know, when we were putting our name in the hat and back when we were narrowed down to the top four, I kept saying I don't really want them here because I lived close enough to, and my family lives around the area where the Atlanta Olympics were. And, you know, it just, it does some amazing things for a city's infrastructure if a city plans it well, which I think Chicago will.
Yeah.
But it is a massive overhaul to your city. And it's, and then the event itself is massive. I'm just glad we had the gay games here. Now, that was manageable and fun. And
well, because we clean up after ourselves, don't we?
We do. We're so neat and tidy.
I mean, we really do. Yeah.
So neat.
Speaking of gay, I'm going to Ottawa, which is our capital in our country. I'm going to their pride this weekend.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I won't do everything that I'm asked, like as far as the prides to go to, but I'll tell you, if there's a small or a big town in about a 6-hour radius from where I live, I'll go to it, and I'm going.
Look at you.
Yeah, there's a huge, huge, huge gay pride there this weekend.
Well, that's interesting. Who has gay pride this late?
I know. Well, Peterborough, my hometown of 63,000, is having theirs in September. And I think it's because they capitalize on the imports because there's a really big university there.
As I say, it's like back-to-school pride.
That's right. There aren't a whole lot of gays that actually live in Peterborough. Like myself, I served my 18 years and got out. I think they wait for the migrant gays.
The migrant gays.
The seasonal gays.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, people have been talking about, because there's been a bit of a shift in weather here. It's been going down to about 12 degrees at night, which I don't know. What is that, 60 for you? I don't even know.
It's chilly here.
Well, people are saying, like, oh, it was a good summer. And I don't even want to say that yet. Am I in denial that summer is slipping away?
I don't know. Kelly is constantly morose at the end of the day going, it's too cool. Why is it so cold? I'm having fear that it's going away, that summer's over. And I'm like,
I'm with her,
over,
yes.
But it is very cool. It's the polar ice caps. It's our own damn fault.
Yeah, that's a true story. Reduce, reuse, recycle. And I'm heading to Provincetown next Friday for a week. We've got a place there. We've got a timeshare. So we have the first week of September. And we'll be going down there. And we're thinking about switching it to a little bit earlier because although it's pretty, the beach isn't quite as pleasant in Provincetown the first week of September as it could be in the middle of July.
Yeah.
Big differences, big difference. Have you been to Provincetown?
I have been to Provincetown. Last time I was in Provincetown was 1993.
Wow.
Long time.
15 years ago. What were you doing there?
Having sex with a lady.
I'm glad I asked.
Having some sex with a lady and going to drag shows at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and
I went
buying
there.
A t-shirt that said, I can't even think straight and stuff like that.
I like it. I was there 15 years ago. I saw my first drag king, Buster Hyman.
Buster Hyman.
That was his name. And Cher's daughter, Chastity Bono.
Chastity Bono.
Was at the boat slip. Was at a big gay bar. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. That's as close to anything exciting and fun as I'd seen in my life, I think.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your barometer, your bar was really low, Deb Pierce.
Well, I'm not. Yeah.
I've met Chastity. She's Chastity.
Nice call there. Good, good answer.
She's a hearty girl. She chewed gum like Penny Marshall through the entire interview. It was hilarious.
She what?
She chewed gum like and sounded like Penny Marshall during my entire interview with her. She was you know, Kate Jackson used to come to my house and she was really hot. She sounded like kind of, I don't know.
That kind of like Cher, but like a manly Cher. I saw her on a home decorating show and she was so butch Americana with the untucked denim shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How funny is that? You know, when I went to P-Town, you have these sightings, right? You have the sightings of...
We saw John Waters last time we were there. Yeah, there's these great spottings. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so the one time I was there, because I've only been there once...
And you didn't come out of the bedroom often, it would seem.
No, I did. I loved. I was pretty newly minted gay.
Okay.
And so for me, it was all about having every experience. And I didn't realize how absurd it was that I was seeing drag shows at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I just thought this is what the gays did. And so I'm kind of skipping up and down the little main drag there.
Yep.
But I went to see... I can't remember. I think I was seeing Suzanne Westenhofer.
Oh, nice. That's very timely. 1993, yes.
Yes. And in the tiny little club, which couldn't have seated 50 people. I mean, it was tiny.
Yep.
Kate Clinton was there. So I remember.
Oh, she's still there every summer.
So I remember like leaning against the bar, standing next to Kate Clinton and Suzanne Westenhofer. And I also just thought, wow, well, when you become gay, you just start meeting all the people who kind of have a name for themselves and are gay.
Because
I had just watched some big march on Washington that they aired on CNN.
That would have been the same year, right?
Mm-hmm. 92, 93. And I had seen both of them on the stage. So I was like, oh, those are gays in the know. Those are gays to know. And I just, you know, as easy as you please, just started talking to both of them, leaning against the bar and all of my
legal. There's a little Southern expression there. I like that.
What was my Southern expression?
As easy as you please.
As easy as you please. Just I was barely legal. I mean, I was scraping into these places. So,
right.
And very proud of it. You know, that's when you like are so excited about flipping out your ID. Yeah.
What is the age there? It's 19 here in Ontario. What is the age there? I wonder, 21?
I don't know. I guess.
Must have been.
I'm
trying to find out how old you are.
19. It was 15. It was a slight 15.
It was 12, for the love of God and all.
You could have a low ball at 15, a high ball at 20.
I like it.
We have to wrap things up, but you're going to be back with me on the next show. So everybody, hope you'll tune in for that. And we're going to be talking about a new segment that we're launching on the Queercast with somebody that is near and dear to both my heart and Miss Deb Pierce. Her name's Sin. And you'll find out more about that on the next show. And I'll have to titillate Deb with that as well.
Yes, please.
So, Deb, we'll talk to you in another early morning, since this is an early morning week for you. And we'll do another show. How's that?
I'd love it. Thank you. I look forward to it, Amy.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at AA.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.